Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I'm your host, Ryan Aries. Sorry we started about 5 minutes late and not everybody's quite set up yet, but we got a great one for you today. We got some special guests, people who I don't know if they've ever been on a live stream with us before. So this is going to be really exciting. Today, we are talking Marvel news. We're talking the Spider-Man Brand New Day cover of Empire that has a great look at the Hand, the Wolverine connection to one of those members of the Hand, possibly. And also, we're going to be talking about this really cryptic post that the Russo brothers made. Let me see if I got a screenshot of that. They just posted a green square on their Instagram. So we're going to talk about all of the various implications that we could have from that. I want to remind you guys that you can become a Screen Crush store member at our $5 tier and get 15% off. We just posted our first Doug exclusive video today. It's a short film. We showed it our live show, but it's part one of the continuing adventures of Doug. So all that being said, I'm really excited to get, I'm looking forward to you guys seeing that short, by the way, you members, it's really fun. So all that being said, let's get started talking to our special guest here. You know him, he's a friend of the show, he's a regular here, he's the co-host of the Comic Book Club podcast. We have Mr. Alex Zalbin. What's going on, Alex?
Not much, Ryan. You know, this is apropos of absolutely nothing, but I've been really missing The Boys since it finished up. And one of my favorite characters in particular on The Boys was Ashley Barrett, the president. I wish there was some way I could see her again. Is there? No.
I see what you're doing. You actually can live in the New York area. Yeah, shut up. Stop it. No, it's that's not embarrassing. I'm really proud. My wife wrote a play that Colby Menifee, who plays Ashley, is co-starring in. And it's going to be great. It goes up this June. If you guys want to get tickets, the play is called Camping. Tickets for that. Thank you for mentioning that. I appreciate it. And
no
maybe
problem.
Colby will come on the show. And
that's legit awesome. I live in the New York area. I had no idea that was going on. So I actually do really like Colby Menifee. She was great on Fear the Walking Dead as well. So I'm excited to check that out.
And also Jessica Jones. And she's, from what I've heard, pretty great in the show. It's the whole thing takes place in a tent. It's apparently really cool. But I also want to bring on our next guest. She is the editor-in-chief of the Mary Sue, a longtime friend of the Screen Crush channel, longtime friend of all things Marvel Star Wars, Rachel Leishman. What's up, Rachel?
What's up? Nothing. I'm just, you know, trucking along after seeing a Spielberg. So I'm going through it today.
So I'm guessing you didn't like rewatch Munich last night. You saw Disclosure Day. Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yes. The embargo, social embargo's up. I'm allowed to talk about it. It's, you know, it's a fun Spielberg, and I love a fun Spielberg. As I said in my video, it felt like two friends, because I also believe aliens exist and are out there, because I'm smart. It's like two friends who think that, just being like, yeah, we know. We know aliens exist. And that is what that movie felt like to me. And I was like, I love to be friends with Steven Spielberg.
I mean, of course they exist. The question is, are they here? You know, they're like bees. Yes, I believe in bees, but are they in my home? Are they in my home? Okay, let's bring up our final guest here.
We cannot confirm, Ryan.
The bees are like in the corner wearing trench coats, like he's onto us. Hey, I'll tell you a fun bee fact I learned that we're going to bring on our next guest. I was watching this video and I cannot remember the creator's name and I wish I could. Bees, bumblebees, like there are animals that do things to just play when they're like relaxed and have nothing else to do. And if you put bumblebees like in a little thing with like balls, they like to just grab onto balls and roll around on them. It's one of their favorite things and it's not for any reason. And finally, coming up on the show, we have him. You know him as Mike. He's Doug's attorney, Mr. Mike Mazzella. What's up, Mike? We can't hear Mike. Oh, dear. And we were able to hear Mike just a second ago.
Hey,
continuing his embarrassing string of technical problems. What's up, Mike?
They will follow me for the rest of my days. I was saying I can confirm there are definitely bees inside of Ryan's house because I put them there. You're welcome. It's the freshest honey you're ever going to have. The bees are very friendly. They like jazz. You know, you could chat them up. It's a good group. Also, I'm sorry if I look a little disheveled. I just got back from camping out all night in line to buy tickets for Camping. This brand
Stop
new
it. Stop it, you guys.
Play
no.
In New York. No, no. But really, all seriousness, go get tickets for it. Go see it. That is the coolest effing thing I've ever heard. That is amazing, Ryan. Congratulations.
It is. It got a write up. It got a mention in New Yorker magazine today, too. Thank you, Mike.
Wow.
Yeah, if you guys.
One of the cartoons. Was it one of the cartoons?
Yeah, they put her in a cartoon. It is. Okay, we don't. Sorry, everybody's not watching. I'm just really proud of her. I think it's a really cool thing. I don't talk about my personal life on the channel much. But I'm like super stoked and really excited it's happening. Anyways, let's talk about what's going on here. So yesterday, Empire Magazine, we like Empire Magazine. They always, like, the week before, like to put out, the week before a trailer, they always put out, like, a big article. I think that we're going to get a trailer next week, next Thursday. Which will be really cool. So they put out an article with this cover, and we're going to talk about this, and then we're going to talk about some other Marvel news, including Avengers Doomsday, and some really cool, like, Daredevil and potential other Netflix character leaks that just came out as well. So here's the two covers that Empire Magazine put out. If you're listening to the podcast platforms, we'll do our best to describe them. The one on the left shows Spider-Man with some fancy web shooters being pursued by four members of the Hand. Guys, who's moving their chair around and is really loud? I think it's Mike. Okay, I've muted Mike right there. So anyways, this shows Spider-Man being with fancy web shooters being chased by some members of the Hand, and also a woman. And there are a few theories or rumors around that this woman is actually Mariko Yoshida, who at one point was going to marry Wolverine in the comics. And I'm sure Alex is going to give us more background on her. But that's obviously very cool because that's an X-Men character. And that could also say, like, hey, if they're putting her in this, maybe they're also putting Jean Grey in it. And then the other image shows Spider-Man creating a web and trapping the Hand within it. So let's just go around and get everybody's first reactions from this. What do we think, Alex?
Sure. I mean, just to talk about Mariko, as you mentioned, she is a sometimes romantic interest, sometimes foil for Wolverine. That's this kind of short version there. I don't know how related she is to the Hand necessarily. And in general, I'm still, like, kind of flummoxed about the whole Hand thing. Given you got Destin Daniel Cretton, I would think you'd have the Ten Rings. You know, we had that dangling right. Ten Rings thing at the end of Shang-Chi. Obviously, we don't have that there. So that's weird. I'll just throw out one thing I was thinking about before we were taping the show is the Hand. And I don't know how this ties into the movie, but the Hand is very tied to resurrection. Like, that's one of the big things. So other than them being, like, a stressor on Spider-Man that shows up for one scene and then disappears, there might be some sort of thread about there's a grave that we see in the trailer that they put out. There might be, I don't think there'd be, like, the Hand wants to resurrect Aunt May as a deadly assassin, though I'm into it if they want to do it. But I don't know. It's a weird thing. Other than them looking cool on a cover, I'm not quite sure why they're there.
Sorry, the idea of bringing back Marissa Tomei, like so much Gambit as a Horseman Apocalypse, of bringing her back as a Hand member took me off guard. Thank you.
She
for
could
that.
Come back a little bit differently as her character from My Cousin Vinny. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I think, well, I got my own thoughts on why. I think the Hand are probably on the cover just because they're not consequential to the movie and they look cool. But Rachel, what do you think?
I think people are grasping at straws to make X-Men connections because they want Sadie Sink to be Jean Grey, but I still think she's Rachel Cole because I was like, why are we introducing a random X-Men in a Spider-Man movie? Like, I was like, it just feels like that wouldn't be where she got introduced. So,
and Rachel Cole, by the way, who's associated with the Punisher, is his protege, etc.
So it makes more sense in my mind that she would be Rachel Cole, a redhead who exists in the comics with the Punisher.
But why keep a secret? You know, that's why I think they would just announce who she is.
Fair. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry.
No, but
you don't think it's Mariko?
I don't. But with the Hand stuff, I think it's interesting because it is forcing everyone to be like, so Charlie Cox, are you lying to us? Because the Hand was only ever really associated with the Netflix shows, which I say, maybe that means we get Colleen and not, that's why Charlie Cox doesn't know anything. And maybe Colleen shows up because she's technically still the Iron Fist. And we have no idea if she's coming back in these shows or where she is. And so I'm here for the Hand being on the cover if it means I get Jessica Henwick back in the MCU.
Jessica Henwick, I think, turned down other Marvel roles because she said she did because she wanted to keep playing Colleen. I love that character. And you're right. I think the more we see of the Hand, the more I'm like, okay, come on. I mean, look, spoiler alert for, where's the spoiler button? Here it is. Spoiler alert for Daredevil Born Again finale, but Matt Murdock's in jail. We've seen a sequence in jail in the trailer. The Hand are in it. This is amounting to at least a cameo. So to find out about that, I want to talk to the only attorney in the room, as far as I know, if the bees don't have law degrees. Mike, what do you think about this cover?
I'm really excited for the Hand to play a role. I think it's, you know, it's the first time we're going to see some Hand stuff in an MCU movie. And I think there should be a lot more Hand stuff in MCU movies. Maybe we go another 10 years. Maybe we'll get to some mouth stuff. I don't know. I am excited to have them in it. And I think that you're right. It's going to be kind of like a first act minor villain thing that they have to take down. And perhaps in the process of taking down the Hand, some bigger stuff hits the fan. The point that you made about Resurrections is really interesting. And I wonder if maybe this is very long shot, far fetched, but perhaps we get like a resurrection of Peter in this, like maybe he dies and gets resurrected by the Hand. And that's why he's so like changed and different.
And why he mutates.
Cause I don't think we're going to see the Jackal in this. Like, I don't think we're going to get the full on, like, you know, clone stuff or mutagenic nightmare. Like, we're not going to get a whole big science background story for this. And if we think that Peter might be growing extra arms and turning into Man-Spider, maybe the Hand is what does that to him through some dark magic. I don't know.
I'll throw out something else from the comics that almost definitely is not going to happen. But while we're talking about like characters in the movie who may be related to the Hand in some way, the only one that I know of that has been announced that is 100% directly related to the Hand is the Punisher. There was a recent run by Jason Aaron where the Punisher was corrupted by the Hand and coerced by them resurrecting his wife. Basically, like, and it's a very twisted, very upsetting story.
They did that story. Yeah, that was my Punisher pitch years ago that she never actually died. I never got a chance to.
She died. Yeah. They do resurrect her, and it's sort of like she's wandering around feeling like, why am I here? What happened to me? This is horrible. Mm-hmm. While Frank is doing the bidding of the Hand, it's a great storyline. Everybody should read it. I don't think that's a place this movie ends up in, but definitely, like, if they're any sort of major part, it would be interesting if those two elements work together.
Well, let us know in the super chats, guys. You know, the super chats are always encouraged but not required. Let us know who you think the villain might be. I want to backtrack. Well, before I do want to backtrack to the Jackal real quick and talk about that. But also, I want to point this out that Tom Holland was talking about the Punisher and whether or not he would be watered down. Like, we obviously saw One Last Kill, this really brutally violent thing, and then Brand New Day is PG-13. And Tom Holland said, Frank's not looking for a buddy. He's not looking for a friend. He's not looking for a hand to pull him out of the hole that he's in. In fact, all he wants to do is dig deeper, kind of implying that they're not going to water him down and maybe that we'll just see a version of the Punisher that's not softer, but maybe just there's more slightly off-screen violence right over that way. I don't know. Rachel Cole is somebody, too, who can show up and either soften the Punisher or harden him up because he would protect her. So do you guys think that there's any credence to this, that the Hand could be part of this with the Punisher? And do you think they would go that far?
He did say Hand in the quote. In the quote, he was like, he's not looking for it. I keep pushing this, even though I know it's not true.
Okay. All right.
Sorry to interrupt, Rachel.
I made a joke. I said he mentioned nothing about mouths. I was just
You're building on what Mike did. I think that the Jackal, just to rewind to that. So the speculation is that Keith David is narrating part of the trailer. So he's obviously not just hired to narrate part of the trailer. He's playing a character. Keith David's a pretty big get, you know, especially in geek circles. So who would you have him play? Is it going to be a one-off part where he gets a narration, or is it a secret villain? And I kind of think that the whole neogenic thing, the storyline where Spider-Man grows the arms, it's tied directly to the Jackal, and I think he's a secret villain. Doesn't mean he has to do the Clone Saga, that were, you know, this like long 90s storyline that went on for 3 years too long. But I do think if there's going to be a secret villain, it could be him. I definitely don't think it's Sadie Sink. I think that's a mislead.
So, you guys have any? I think we were talking about this on a previous stream, that he could be Miles Warren, and if he is Miles Warren the Jackal, I think it's probably just like a scientist who talks about spider evolution and everything, because there was a quote in the preview of the Empire article, if I'm recalling correctly, where Tom Holland said that the kind of idea here was, what if he went through spider puberty? So I almost wonder if there is no villain, if the villain is just all of these stressors coming at him at the same time and forcing him into a place where, even though he's an adult at this point and past college age, that like he really has to grow up and become a man in a certain way. And maybe they won't actually have like the world-ending stakes or the villain other than what's happening to Spider-Man, which if they do, I think could be kind of cool.
Well, where the Hulk is also a part of it too, but the Hulk also, you know, we talked
And the
before
Scorpion.
about, like, and the Scorpion, yeah. And we talked before about how there are so many villains in this, there's so much going on. But so far, at least the Hulk being in it doesn't seem like an extra thing. It seems like an expression of the same theme of transformation. You know, you also have, like, if you're going to look at it as a push-pull, you got Frank Castle on one side. He says this inner savagery. And there's also recent quotes, we don't have them pulled up on screen, about Bruce Banner confirming that he's going to become Savage Hulk, and he's kept the Hulk suppressed for years. And that's even interesting too, the idea that he didn't put the brains and the brawn together. He suppressed the Hulk, and the Hulk has been in a back seat for, well, since during the blip. And that's going to be incredible to see what happens when the Hulk comes out.
Well, it's a
You
little
got
bit of payback for Ragnarok, isn't it? I mean, the Hulk
Yeah.
had Banner trapped inside of him for however many years he was on Sakaar. I think it's only fair. I don't think the Hulk's going to see it that way, but
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm interested to see when he comes out and like what the Hulk feels about not just him being trapped, but the world that's around him. The last time we saw the Hulk, he got his ass kicked by Thanos. So his first, well, he kind of popped out here and there in Infinity War, but when he comes out, maybe they'll immediately let us know this is the old Hulk by having him say, "No Thanos," or something like that, you know, to like let us know that, okay, this is that guy from back then, and it's an even bigger connection to the Infinity Saga.
I want him to be gray. I want him to be a different color. I want to give him the OG original Hulk gray from the comics.
But if he's gray, I want him to have that in the comics later on when he's Gray Hulk. He has this the persona of like a I don't know
Oh
what you call it,
no.
like
I'm not talking about
a bouncer.
Vegas
Yeah.
Mr.
Issues
Fix-It.
Gray Hulk.
Yeah,
I'm
Vegas
talking,
Mr.
yeah, not
Fix-It.
Joe
Yeah.
As
Fix-It.
long as he's gray but also wearing a fedora, I'm very into it.
Yeah, I mean, why else would you do it if he's not going to be Joe Fix-It and wearing a
You could go
fedora?
Joe Fix-It. I
I
was
do.
thinking more just like the original, like very first issue of the Hulk. He was gray. He didn't turn green until like much later when they,
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
guess,
till he
realized that it
re
was
yeah.
cheaper.
Till he took over, it wasn't Tales to Astonish, but there was another comic book that he took over, like at issue 102. I personally, here's what I think that the Hand are largely in this as part of this opening montage and to show Matt Murdock. I think what they're doing is building up toward an actual Spider-Man Daredevil team up, and that he is in this in the beginning. He's in the jail cell. He probably helps him out for a second, and then Peter would remember him. He wouldn't remember Peter, though, so he wouldn't be able to do a really good lawyer callback. But he would know that Matt is Daredevil because he revealed it on screen, right? Maybe he even sees him in a cell and goes, "Yo, Daredevil, can you help me out?" So we get that moment, the Hand are there, and that's kind of teasing the Hand to be the main villains in Daredevil Born Again Season 3. And maybe Daredevil and Spider-Man actually get a chance to team up in the next Spider-Man film, which, by the way, if it's about the black costume and Peter succumbing to the Venom symbiote, it'd be really cool to have Matt Murdock to be that moral center for Peter, and it would be a reason for him to be in the movie and not just a cameo. Thoughts, please, from the panel on a
I
potential
will
team up with
say,
Matt Murdock.
well, it's important to remember too that like the images that we have, I know we're gonna talk about them later, but the introduction of Danny Rand coming back into the MCU that we have was them outside of a courthouse in Brooklyn. So it also could the Hand could be tied to Danny Rand trying to get Matt Murdock out of prison with the rest of the defenders. And then so it could be a lot more simple than just, you know, they're trying to do whatever X, Y, and Z and then introduce it in Daredevil season three. I think it might just be the because of Danny Rand being back in New York and specifically trying to get him out that the Hand is stepping in. And then Peter is there to be like, no, you can't actually just break him out of prison or kill him in prison,
Oh,
whatever
okay.
they want to do him. So I think it's like if it is going to go that route, it is like they were at a courthouse when they all woke walked out in cloaks and Finn Jones just decided to be face forward for the camera so
Yeah.
that he
Yeah.
was.
Well, that's big for him. He's been out of it for a while. Everybody's been asking for Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and literally
Colleen
everybody else.
Wing, yeah. Hopefully, if with him, hopefully they were able to give him some fight training because that was a big problem 10 years ago in the Iron Fist show. For some reason, they didn't put a mask on him and they rushed production. So Finn Jones got like no fight choreography, and boy, did it show. And I still haven't seen Iron Fist season two, so that's on me. Maybe he's a much better character now.
Yeah, and him and Ward Meacham went out on a whole quest together by the end of that season. It was great. They were just like,
Didn't
okay,
okay.
quest.
Okay, so let's address this, right? You brought it up already. And just to remind you guys, let me see, do we have any super chats yet to get to? Oh, we got a few super chats. We'll get to those a little bit later. And don't forget, like I mentioned at the top of the video, we do have our merch store is active now. We got some fun stuff going on, including a 50% discount on all merch across the store. Right now, we're still running our Star Wars sale until June 1st. It's 15% off all Star Wars parody merch. And if you are a store member, you get the additional 15% off with our code. We have the Good Soldiers Follow Order. Somewhere in here, we've got my new favorite shirt, the Bubba Fett. I love this one. It's full of tiny Easter eggs for your friends to notice and catch. And of course, we've got other great ones like the Darth Vulcan, the Hello There shirt and welcome mat, and this absolutely sweet Warrior, Japanese warrior inspired Darth Maul shirt. Links to those and many more are down below. So there was a recent BTS photo, and we're not going to show it because the one copyright strike we ever got at this channel was for accidentally showing behind the scene photo. But it had all the defenders, right? And like you said, they were outside of a courthouse. In the comics, Matt Murdock, as you know, after his identity was revealed as Daredevil the second time, actually stood trial. And he went through this and actually like stood up for his crimes. And I think that you're right. They could be going in to testify on his behalf, right? But I think the Hand are the only villains that really make sense at this point. You know, they were in Daredevil mm-hmm. season two. They brought the Defenders together once, not very well. And maybe Marvel wants to do a redeeming story for that. Alex, what do you think?
My only thing about that is they are filming this on the streets of New York City, and I feel like we would have seen photos of the Hand running around and doing stuff already. Maybe they haven't gotten to those scenes yet, but I like the idea. I like the idea of seeing more Hand. I can't, sorry.
Mike ruined it. Mike ruined it.
Now, you ruined it.
We're across the board.
We're all suddenly 12-year-old boys. You have every to time say we say the word hand.
Every time.
Yeah.
We're all familiar with the hand stuff. Is it our favorite? No, but it's there and we'll take it, you know?
It's for sad birthdays. Anyways, go ahead. Alex, continue on.
I don't even know what I was saying. I think if we get the Hand related to Daredevil in some way in this movie, I don't think they're going to connect it explicitly in dialogue to Daredevil Born Again, just because mm-hmm. that would require people having seen the TV show that honestly, probably not as many people saw the TV show as are going to see Spider-Man Brand New Day. So that said, I do really like the idea of them trying to kill them, maybe working up to some sort of Shadowlands storyline where, not to keep talking about the Hand corrupting people, but the Hand corrupted Daredevil in the comics, made him the leader of it. They created this dark fortress in the middle of New York. It's very cool. And that might be an interesting place to take Matt in a third season or something like that. I don't know if they want to go that big, but that might be a way of bringing them in. I don't know if that was your question anymore.
No. But here's a cool question about the Hand and the Hulk. I mean, again, if I'm going to put my chips on one bet, I'm going to say the Hand are at the beginning. It's a cool Easter egg and it's a tease for Daredevil Born Again season three, but not directly. I do think if they show up and Daredevil does something to help them, he's also showing up in the third act. Otherwise, why is this random guy in the prison cell, from a movie perspective, why is this random guy in a prison cell with superpowers nodding to Peter Parker if he's not going to show up later in the movie? But I wonder, as far as the Hand resurrection goes, there's the Hulk, you know, and killing the Hulk. Did Bruce Banner actually kill the personality and take it over? If the Hand are around and if they do take a more central role in the film, do they resurrect the Hulk? Is he their new Black Sky weapon? That would be dope. Maybe that's why he's Gray Hulk, because he's
that,
you know,
would
dark
be
and
very
evil.
Cool. One thing that I was thinking about earlier when we were talking about all these various characters of the movie is, conversely to what I was saying about the Punisher leading the Hand in the comics, it might be interesting if the Punisher was the one voice of reason in the movie, because as we saw at the end of One Last Kill, he's already embraced his monster nature. He is fine with who he is. The Hulk, Bruce Banner, clearly is not. I think I'm kind of assuming that Peter Parker is going to go through a similar path in this movie of leading into being the spider and maybe not liking it. Maybe if it is spider puberty, being like, ew, this is icky. And the Punisher could be the one who can show them how to balance those sides, or at least lean one way or the other.
I mean, after all, the Punisher's had, I think, four different stories now where he decides to keep being the Punisher. So if anybody knows about moving on. I know the spider puberty thing is interesting, too, that they use those specific words, because when James Cameron did his original draft, he did directly make a treatment back in the 90s, early 90s for a Spider-Man film. He did a direct, like, correlation between puberty and Peter Parker, and that's why he has organic web shooters, not to put that image in your head. So I do wonder if part of the spider puberty is going to be that he is going to at least have organic web shooters by the end. Like the scene where he falls and he's, mm-hmm. you know, like naked in the cocoon, we see the webbing go up, but we don't see him. So I wonder if that's because the web shooters were hopefully coming out of his wrists. Rachel, you're making faces right now.
I hate the organic web shooter. Like, I'm 90% sure that's what Nick Cage has as Ben Reilly, and it grosses me out every time. I'm like, stop.
I think you're right.
Tobey Maguire, like, that was my favorite part of Brand New Day, or not Brand New Day, No Way Home, because before that movie came out, I was like, those two don't have organic web shooters. What are they going to do when they see Tobey Maguire? And they delivered. Ah! They were like, where does it come from? Like, they both
just breeze right past it.
They're like, oh, you guys watch, did any of you watch The Venture Brothers?
No.
Oh, it's an amazing show. The Venture Brothers is like Rick and Morty kind of stole their thunder. Like, I think The Venture Brothers
old school
is a
Adult
show.
Swim, right?
Old school Adult Swim, but they still continuously every now and then will drop like a new season or a movie. But I think the last time was like the actual resolution of it, but it's been around since 2004. It's great. It's a parody of everything in one universe, but there's a Spider-Man parody in that who slings webs, but the webbing does come out of his butt. And it's like this really, not his butt, but like his lower back. And so it's this
like
weird thing on his back. Like who?
Web Weaver from The Boys.
Like Web Weaver from The Boys. Actually, no, I'm thinking of Web Weaver. It does come from his butt. Rachel, we'll move on from organic webbing because between hand stuff and organic webbing, this is going blue real fast. We don't
do enough hand stuff. You're going to shoot some webs. Okay.
We did also I want to briefly go back to Spider-Man real quick. Another quote from the Empire magazine is him saying, so for whoever's next, whether that's Miles Morales or a Spider-Gwen or Spider-Woman or something like that, I would love to be a part of setting up the next chapter. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. But if I could do what Downey did for me, then I would be so content to swing it off into the sunset. That's interesting. I don't think he's writing his Spider obituary just yet. I think he's got a lot more to do, at least a new trilogy of solo films. But where do you guys think they would pivot to Miles Morales live action, or what do you think would be next for them?
That sounded a lot like Tom Holland's trying to get out. Maybe he didn't mean it that way. Maybe he didn't intend it that way. But I mean, he's in The Odyssey that's coming out this summer too. Like Tom Holland is a legit like big time movie star, and maybe he might be feeling that he's been playing this role for 10 years and maybe he's outgrowing it. But at the same time, you know, hopefully he's getting to interact with like Hugh Jackman on the set of Doomsday and being like, hey, so tell me what it's like to play an iconic superhero for 30 years. And hopefully Hugh Jackman can be like, do it, like stick with it, stay it, be Spider-Man forever.
And because Hugh, kind of like in Star Trek Generations when Kirk tells Picard, don't let them take you off that ship. Because Hugh Jackman's career, I don't think ever hurt him for being typecast as Wolverine. He was smart. He played immediate other parts, like in Kate and Leopold. Mm-hmm. The Sheep Detectives, by the way, cried like a baby. You guys have to see it if you haven't. Amazing film. I think that maybe that is the case. And maybe now it's compartmentalized when they film these films for him to where it doesn't have to be a huge time commitment like it used to be. Rachel, what do you think?
I hope he's not going anywhere.
I have a hot take about that information. Yeah. Because, I mean, listen, I am very loud in the fact that I believe Wolverine is supposed to be 5'3" and angry. So I don't necessarily love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine because of that fact. But I think,
I love it. But that is such a 1999 Wizard magazine take. I love it so much. Like that I is, you're sticking to your guns and I admire you for it.
I love my short little angry king. I think he's a fine and great Logan, but I love that Wolverine is just a short, angry man. That is my favorite thing about him as a character.
And but, not a handsome figure, Wolverine. No, that's the other thing too. Like, Hugh Jackman, very, very, very handsome. Wolverine, more like Danny DeVito. But go ahead.
But I think that because Hugh Jackman is like, you know, was a leading man, kind of went and did other things at the same time, and like became the early 2000s Hugh Jackman. He never got typecast. But I think because Tom Holland is like, I mean, at least for me, he is my favorite live action Spider-Man I've ever seen. A lot of people see him as like, oh, he was like a really good Peter Parker, and they are typecasting him to the point where when he does an American accent and it's not a Queens accent, people are like, what is this now? So it's like, I think he's going to have a little bit more of an issue when it comes to typecasting. Like Andrew Garfield didn't, and Tobey Maguire really didn't, but that's because both of them were, I mean, they're great, but they are not my favorites. This is the first time I was like, oh, that's Peter Parker I'm seeing on screen. And so it's like, I think he's going to find a little bit more pushback in like branching out. And we've already kind of seen it because when he gets roles, people are like, I know you're not Nathan Drake. That's Peter Parker.
Right,
and so,
right. Well, we'll see what happens in the Odyssey. It's a pretty big departure for him too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. But yeah, I think the Odyssey will potentially change that.
Yeah, because Uncharted really didn't do that for him. You're right. Go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say the other side of the equation to talk about like passing the mantle. I totally agree with everything that everybody's saying about Tom Holland. But as much as I would love to see Miles Morales movie, and they might do a Miles Morales movie beyond the Spider-Verse animated stuff, Sony, obviously, I don't know. I don't work at Sony, but Sony is going to want to keep Peter Parker as the main Spider-Man, even if they move on from Tom Holland. Like, there's no way around it. You could see that with them changing it to Ben Reilly for basically no reason over in Spider-Noir.
They have a little cool thing in there where they do say that he changed his name after the war, which I thought was really cool. Yeah,
yes, to Ben Reilly. Exactly.
Because thank you for pointing that out. I just realized, I was like, as I was watching, I was like, well, wait, in the show or the movies, he says, my name is Peter Parker. Mine was my Uncle Ben. Like, he lays it out for you in that
and
first
that's, movie. And that's why. It can still be the same character. It's just that in his universe, he goes by Ben Reilly to hide his identity. But what the hell does he care about telling the audience who he really is?
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It's regardless, though, I think like they want to keep Peter Parker in the middle. They want Peter Parker to be the Spider-Man. So if Tom Holland says goodbye, I don't think that seeds the film series to Miles Morales or Spider-Gwen or anybody like that. Like, maybe they do, no pun intended, spinoffs, but I think you get Peter Parker as the main guy no matter what, for better or worse.
I don't want to go too far down this. I just don't want to kind of, we're talking about Spider-Noir next week. We just want to give everybody a chance to talk about it. I love to see what happens when Sony doesn't try to put their thumb on the scale for a Spider-related project. You know, you look at Kraven, Madam Web, all these things where you can tell they were so heavily trying to like build a thing. Spider-Noir, they got a great creative team together. They had a vision, they stuck to it, and it's amazing. I really was blown away by that show. Let's talk about the Green Square. We got a couple other things I want to get to some of these. You know, well, we kind of talked about the Derek. You know what? Let's save the Green Square. Let's save the Avengers Doomsday news for last, because we do have a little bit of other news regarding the Daredevil Season 3 leaks, right? So they're filming right now. There was a shot of, and I think one of these photos is on Getty, so maybe we could have got the rights to show it, but we see Dex's new Bullseye outfit. It's government sponsored, it's slicker, it's more comic accurate because it's got the stripes around the top and, you know, like around his shoulders and stuff. But the point is, because he's working for the government, it's not some cloth thing that he threw together. And we do see him in a park with Luke Cage, Danny Rand, and Danielle, who's Luke and Jessica's daughter, which is really interesting. Again, this is all we have is this image to go off of, and there's a lot we could extrapolate from it. But there we go. Oh, and there's one other thing too, where Bullseye's helmet in the center has a camera in the middle of that. When you look at it close up, you can see there's a tiny little camera. So that's a lot of information. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
That reminds me a lot of Taskmaster from, as we saw Taskmaster in the Black Widow movie. Had the camera that like analyzed everything.
Interesting. Yeah. Because but that was fed into a chip in her backyard. Go ahead.
I was just making fun of Poindexter, because Poindexter is a character. I'm like, oh, you can throw things really accurately. Congrats. I've always had beef with him. I'm like, you're so boring. But then I love Wilson Bethel's version of Poindexter, because even when I'm annoyed by him, I'm like, you're kind of cool though. Like, you're the coolest Poindexter that I've ever seen.
Poindexter is a pretty nerdy name. You're not wrong about that. It actually is in Revenge of the Nerds, the guy that plays the violin.
I refuse to call him Benjamin Poindexter. His name is Poindexter. That's it.
Okay.
The Bullseye, he's Poindexter.
Maybe the camera is a body cam, like, you know, to check in with the government to report back.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's a policeman.
It's a way for Val to keep tabs on him to make sure he doesn't go too far when he murders people.
That's never going to work with him.
No.
I do think, like, I don't know. It's interesting that he's already back in New York, because the last thing we saw of him was, like, I'm getting on a plane with Matthew Lillard. see you later. And then like now he's back in New York for season three. So it's gonna be interesting to see, unless he comes back because he heard Matt is in prison.
Or because remember their last mission, or the mission like where before they got on the plane, we saw Matthew Lillard reading a travel magazine for Japan. So it could be that's how you tie the hand into it. You start off, maybe they start off the season. We see Bullseye's mission and where he encounters the hand and the hand follow him back to New York. Mm-hmm. That could be it as well. Yeah, the other take on that body cam, on the helmet cam I saw, was that he's like putting together his own YouTube compilations.
He's a streamer.
He's got a channel. He's really trying to grow his Twitch base.
He's an influencer. Come with me to murder some people. And he's like,
he's killing people. And he's like, hold on, we got some super chats.
Honestly, would follow, would stream. Yeah. And Mike, were you about to say something? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say he's reading super chats while he's murdering people. I got $5 from Dan, says use something duller. Okay.
Can you etch in a phrase for Matt Murdock on your knife and throw it in?
Speaking of super chats, let's talk about some of these before we get to this Russo Brothers green square and the potential new scenes they're putting in Avengers Endgame. We've got Chris Atan Unpronounceable gave us $2 Canadian and said the villain of the movie is your mom. We do appreciate that. A good your mom joke is not as easy to write as you think. We've hired writers who just don't get the rhythm. So that was very well done. Claire JS gave us $5 or Clark JS, Clark's just. Do you think they will incorporate the assassination contest storyline connecting Tombstone with the Hand? Tombstone's also in the movie. It would also connect to Punisher and Daredevil. I don't know this story. Alex, are you familiar with it?
The assassination? I got to look it up because I don't remember it offhand. Assassination contest?
Yeah, I don't know this one. I'm looking it up right now.
I don't know this one either.
Yeah. Assassination contest. This is according to... No, that's not Marvel. That's a weird anime.
I found the same weird thing.
Oh, the assassination plot. I remember that one from the late 90s with Silver Sable and Paladin, but I don't think that's the one they're talking about.
Well, I
don't know.
I mean, to sort of take a logical leap here, not exactly knowing what the storyline is, we've talked about this before, I think, here, but there's so many villains in the movie. It would make sense that there's some sort of gang war going on. Like, classically in the comics, every couple of years they'll have a gang war, and it's just exactly that. It's Tombstone, it's Kingpin, it's all these other characters are fighting on the streets, and Spider-Man's whole plot line is like, whoa, 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 we got to de-escalate this. And that's pretty much it. They're kind of great every time, but that is the sort of thing that might explain why there's so many villains, why there's so many elements coming on, and ultimately it's a big fight in Times Square where all of these things come together with Spider-Man stuck in the middle. It would be kind of like the classic Spider-Man situation that we've never really gotten before in this movie, is because he's always being a little more proactive and going after these things.
Yeah, and you know what? Not for nothing. Sorry, Rachel, just real quick. It is sort of set up by Daredevil Born Again Season 2, the power vacuum, because the Kingpin is gone. And, you know, he was controlling the mobs when he was mayor, but now it's a power grab. Sorry, Rachel, go right ahead.
No, I just had a question because it was like, it's feeling a little like, you know, when on the Mandalorian, they showed us that the Jedi could heal, and then everyone went and saw Rise of Skywalker, and then they used that same force thing. It kind of feels that way with Tombstone a little bit, that like all of a sudden Tombstone became a character in an animated show in Spider-Noir. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting, I'm like, why all of a sudden are we like all on Tombstone? Because I was like, we've had so many Spider-Man movies that he does not exist in. And now he is everywhere.
And Spider-Verse and Friendly Neighborhood. And I thought he was great in Friendly Neighborhood. That's the best iteration, including comics, I've ever seen of that character. I don't know. Like, maybe he's just, maybe we've hit that level of like, well, what villains haven't we used? And maybe filmmakers are going, oh, actually, Tombstone's really cool. Like, I didn't realize how
Tombstone
cool the villain
really
he was.
Cool
I just
villain.
I just thought he was a big heavy guy.
The Insomniac Spider-Man video games that came out for the PlayStation. Yes. But Tombstone plays like a decently sized role in the first one. Yeah. And then he also appears in the second one. And he's really like a human character. Like, you kind of feel for Lonnie. Like, he is a bad guy. He runs a criminal organization, but he's not like, he doesn't take pride in like killing people or harming people. He's just trying to make a buck. And then in the second one, he's like reformed and he's more of just like a civilian and like a normal dude who helps Spider-Man fight off some people. And he's always been a very like kind of conflicted villain in that he's not like as evil as Kingpin, but he is still ruthless if you push him far enough, and he's kind of indestructible.
And he has sharp teeth. I mean, it's a really cool aspect of his design as well. We got a great super chat here. This is from Saggy Bear, gave us $2. And Rachel, you'll hate this. Clone Saga Switch, Sadie is Madeline and not Jean.
You know what,
that is a complicated storyline to tell. I think if anything, if she's not Jean, she's probably Typhoid Mary. But again, why is that a secret?
I still want her to be Black Cat. I want her to be Black Cat so bad. Damn all of the leaks and everything else.
But then, I think that would be the same issue that I'm having with Tombstone being in it if you have Black Cat also in this, because Cat Hardy is supposed to be kind of like a Black Cat in Spider-Noir. So then it's just like you keep, like, I don't know. There's so many Spider-Man villains. I'm like, why are we picking all of them at the same time?
I would love to see a comic accurate Black Cat appear in these. I mean, this is the golden opportunity to do it. MJ, they're separated. You know, in the comics, he's in a relationship with Black Cat. She's Catwoman. You know, basically, it's when he's between Gwen and Mary Jane when they start to see each other. And then later on in the comics, it creates a really interesting love triangle where Mary Jane's kind of always looking over her shoulder at Felicia and a little bit paranoid about them going out and web slinging together and stuff like that. But I guess not. I mean, I seriously doubt if she's playing Black Cat, but not because she has red hair. Just say what? Yeah.
We both at the exact same time said
she has silver hair, right? She got to have
like opposite reactions to the hair because you said, I guess she just has red hair. And I said, she has to have blonde hair.
And we got another one here. This is from Armand, whose name has a bunch of A's in it, gave us £5 just to say, by the way, for next time, you can just say Armand. You don't need to pronounce every A. Thank you, Armand. And
is that from Interview with the Vampire?
Oh, God, I hope so.
There's a lot
Armand
of A's.
Armand, actually. Hawkeye.
Are there 12
Armand
A's
the
in
second,
that?
Armand the third, Armand the fourth. Remember Hawkeye? Did no one watch Hawkeye?
I love Hawkeye.
Yeah, I don't remember Armand in it. Sorry.
The little kid. All right, never mind.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, sorry. I've covered that show and wrote Easter egg videos, and I guess it's lost to the sands of time. Silhouetted Animator gave us $2 and said, and this is great into our next transition to our next topic, our final topic for the stream. The color the Russos posted was the hex code 71826A, which could stand for July 18th, 2026. Now, in case you guys don't know what the heck Silhouetted Animator is talking about, the Russo brothers recently posted this green square. What does the green square mean? This is, Alex, I know how much you love the marketing campaign the Russo brothers are pulling out here. This first thing I thought was Firefest when they had all these influencers post orange squares for a day.
Yeah.
I got a theory that I think is right about this, but what do you got? You got to tell me your thoughts on this before we get to the.
I think Microsoft Paint will return at Avengers Doomsday.
Why is
Flippy.
It?
All right. Flippy's coming back.
Why is it a sage green? Why isn't it like a more vibrant green? It's Doctor Doom. That's sage.
It that could be a darker. Green. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it. I think it just means that the Russo brothers are having a brat summer.
Well, that. Or they're colorblind, or they wanted to give it to me because that's my eye color. Like, all of it is just not Dr. Doom's green, and so that is my complaint. Why
that is an interesting theory with the like the hex code being a like a clue. Like, did somebody just like pop it into it? I'm sure there's some type of
shout out to the internet. Somebody must have went, I wonder what the hex code is there. I'm looking for clues. It wasn't me. That's I don't smart. Have time for that.
Yeah. No, and I buy that. I buy that it is like they're teasing the trailer release or something like that, but it is so annoying. This is not a fun treasure hunt to me. Maybe other people are having fun. I'm sorry. If you're having fun, that's awesome. But
yeah, do you remember just back in the day when we had like the Dark Knight trailer where a bunch of people had to visit the website to like take off a piece of the Joker's face and then we could see the trailer underneath it. That's what I miss. I miss that kind of viral stuff. Fun. This is like some
the Batman. Yeah. They did it for the Batman where you had to solve the Riddler's riddles.
That's right.
In order to like get to something. And I was like, just tell me when it's up. I'm not doing that.
I won't go through it now, but the best Easter egg like this ever is from the show Archer. If you just type in obscure Archer audio Easter egg, it is unreal. What I found, I didn't find it, but like I read a big deep dive on this
my one. Favorite one. All right. from back in the day was when Lost was on the air, they had all those Dharma Initiative websites that you could go on, and like it was really in-depth and intense, like really a lot of tricky maneuvering in those websites to try and find secret videos of like Dharma Initiative logs. It was that was the coolest
those,
interactive.
Those used to be so much fun. The Monsterverse did that with Monarch, but they really, and Apple does it for all their shows, but go ahead, Rachel. They don't do that on shows anymore.
Here's the thing. I want either a website where I got to solve some stuff or do some trivia, or you got to send me on a scavenger hunt to find the trailer out in the world. Like when they did the thing with Spider-Man on the Empire State Building, I was like, if you set it up so fans could like go on a scavenger hunt and figure out where they needed to go and like show the trailer places, that would have been so cool. Cause I would have 100% gone and tried to like see a Spider-Man thing in a movie theater. Even though I know I'm press and they probably would have just been like, we're doing this thing, just come to the end port. I'd be like, no, let me play. But like things like that, I think are fun where you just post a color. I'm like, why is it Hunter Green? That's not the color. Like I'm like analyzing it in not the fun way. I'm analyzing it in the, like, this feels wrong.
It's like an annoying person at a party, right? Like it's the same thing with the trailers where they were talking about, oh, these aren't trailers, these are clues. And everybody started looking at the codes at the end there. They're like, is this it? And I think we still don't know. Like, and it feels like somebody being like, no, that's not it. You haven't got it yet. You got to get it.
I personally think we here at Screen Crush solved it. I was really like, we did a video on that where we basically said, yeah, and we didn't come up with this particular idea, but when you watch all of them together, it's covering the cycle of life, you know, beginning with birth and ending with the afterlife. But even more than that, they all end with a window, and they all have the same, they all have windows in the trailers. And it's pretty obvious that like, that's all a connection. I think it's Doom watching them from his Citadel personally.
Well, and that's all fine, but where is the payoff? Like you may have figured it out, but where is the, like, congratulations, you got to the end of the scavenger hunt. And it's the same thing with this green square. Maybe it's a trailer on July 18th. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just a green square, but I don't know. You need a little something more there, not to get too wonky about it, but you need a little more something to get the marketing working properly.
There is something else in there. Go ahead, Rachel.
I was just saying to Alex's point, like, it's also the same problem with the chairs where we watched however many hours of chairs.
Six hours ended
with Robert Downey Jr. sitting in a chair. Well, we already knew Robert Downey Jr. was Dr. Doom. So like if it was at the end and it was revealed that he was Doom, that would have been like worth 6 hours of sitting and watching chairs.
Or Chris Evans at the end.
Or like, I don't even know, Scarlett Johansson sitting there like, surprise. Like, I don't, something. But it was just like hours, and then it was like, the information we got that was new was like, there are X-Men in it. But it would have been cooler if they showed all the chairs and then the X-Men are just standing there and you're like, oh shit, it's James Marsden. Oh, there's Alan. Like, it's just off slightly. Like, off kilter, like, just a little bit. Like, they're almost there, but not fully.
I mean, the movie itself, we got a video coming out about this later today, but it is, it's an odd choice. It really flies in the face of what they built in the Infinity Saga to be like, yeah, we're going to ignore a lot of what's happened the past few years and just kind of like cap Endgame. But there is one thing in this. You can't see it on the picture, obviously, but there are people tagged in it. Robert Downey Jr. is tagged in it. And also South by Southwest London. And they are presenting at South by Southwest London next week. So there is that. Or South by Southwest London is next week. So there's, I think, I don't remember if it's been officially announced, but they will probably be there.
They're doing two panels.
Presentation. Yeah, that's right. They are. Yes. And aren't they also showing either Infinity War or Avengers Endgame? They're not?
They're doing both.
Oh, they're doing both. Okay, I thought
as
you said
that. As far as I'm aware, they're doing both Infinity War and Endgame in London.
So here's my question. If we know that later this year they're going to reshow Endgame with some footage added, some of it could be existing deleted scenes we never got to see. Some of it is going to be new stuff they shot to basically retroactively make the movie set up Avengers Doomsday and do the work that no film or show in the multiverse saga could do in a couple hundred hours of programming. So do you think this could be a preview of this new footage? And what would they possibly add to Avengers Endgame or Infinity War to set up Avengers Doomsday?
I mean, we talked about, and this has been speculated widely on the internet, about maybe just the end of Endgame, where you hear the clanking of the hammer and you think it's supposed to be Iron Man. You reveal that it's actually Dr. Doom forging his mask. I would be surprised if they would show that off this early, because I think they want people to see it again in theaters in the fall. But maybe there is something where they show off the two movies and then they show off an early look at footage of Doomsday or something like that. And then the other part of it might be, this is the most underwhelming thing possible, but since South by Southwest, and I don't know if London has a different focus, but technically it's like a tech conference, they could be talking about Infinity Vision, their made up, not actually IMAX thing. And talking about how this is the sound and this is the picture that we're going to use to show off these movies. Here's a little taste of it while you watch Infinity War and Endgame. And it could just be that. That's the saddest possibility.
I kind of think you might be right. Basically, it's the, well, we don't need to be on IMAX screens for Dune, like the same week as Dune. We have Infinity Vision. I think you might have something to that. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. We've talked about that before, that theory that it's the clanging at the end. I think that's really fun. For me, it's kind of hard, unless maybe the other really light lift, right? Very light lift is putting the Watcher in the sky over Vormir, right? I think that would be cool. And it would have to be really subtle, because otherwise, if you're just watching the movie, be like, who the fuck is that guy in the cloud? That seems really important. I should know who that is. But ditto for every other way they could add Dr. Doom or the multiverse into this. I think any way that you shake it out, I don't know, if they're in 1970s New York and then Dr. Doom appears in a time portal behind them to also grab some pen particles, that's a bit distracting. So I don't think it'll be anything heavy-handed that way.
Could they, I don't remember the scene, what it looks like specifically enough, but the scene where Tilda Swinton is explaining time travel to Bruce Banner, could they tweak that visually so it looks more like the multiverse in Loki, potentially?
Well, it's
just make like, it look like the strands.
That's a great idea, yeah.
But wait, she's just, you mean like the actual explanation? Because they're just on the roof in New York.
Yeah, doesn't she?
When she shows the time,
it's like a visual representation of it.
Like yeah, that, so they can make it look like sort of like more like the branches we saw in Loki than it looks in there. I don't know.
Doesn't this whole thing kind of feel like Star Wars special editions to you
guys?
It
feels very George Lucas, Like we're going to go back through and we're going to change everything. We're going to switch out Edward Norton in the original Incredible Hulk and just make him Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, where does it end?
Yeah,
Don Cheadle.
Go back to Iron Man 1, put Don Cheadle in instead of.
And let's put in, and as long as they're going back to Endgame, why don't we just get a quick scene where like Rhodey just briefly, when he's by himself, turns into a Skrull real quick, and then like turns back
into himself. That.
You know, like as long as we're like going to retroactively do things, or what if we have Wanda like in Infinity War going, because she hears the whisper of C'thon, the Darkhold calling to her. It where does it end when you start
the
to go
100% craziest thing they could do that they definitely won't do is change the end of Infinity War so you see everybody else who we found out got blipped throughout the rest of the phases. You see them disappearing as well. So it's like a 30-minute sequence of people just
Yelena back in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, better mom.
If they were
and then it just pretty keeps going. Daredevil, all the gang from Ant-Man, like everyone down the line. We see what happened. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
If they were going to go back and add Doom in any way, I think it would only have to be from the point of like him, like you said earlier, like observing. Like maybe he's in that quantum tunneling place where they all fall into when they travel through time. And he's like observing them split off and go down these different roads. We don't think that like Doom was in the 616 universe at the time of the blip, so I don't think we're going to get any like here's Dr. Doom's perspective on the blip, because he's outside of time and space or in another universe. So yeah, I think like conceivably the only things that they could do are just having like little cameos or nods to him in the background observing events, but not interfering with them or like causing anything to happen.
That's it. Or there's other things that don't involve Dr. Doom that they can add and augment. Maybe there are things that could support the telling of the multiverse saga. Like, for instance, you know, when Banner gives this whole speech about time travel and stuff, maybe in the talk about branching timelines, maybe Tilda Swinton had other parts of the monologue to talk about other realities, because she mentions the multiverse in the first Doctor Strange. That kind of thing's okay. But then, like, which version of Endgame is the official version? Jabbernasty237 gave us $5, has a great question here. What characters do we think will avoid Doomsday, like the destruction of all of realities at the end of Avengers Doomsday, which we think will happen? What characters do we think will avoid Doomsday and make it to Battle World via, to your point, Mike, the Void or the Quantum Realm? So that's a great question. Who do we think will survive? Now, I think, just to add an addendum, I think most characters will survive, but then they won't all remember. Mm-hmm. But maybe some characters will be wiped away. I think all the original X-Men from the X-Universe, except for like Deadpool, I think gone. Do you guys have any other theories on characters that'll last or stay or go away?
Just about to say, I was like, the X-Men are for sure dead. Like, this is going to be like here's the pin in it. Like, we're done with these X-Men characters.
Again.
Also, I don't know. Because I feel like they just established the Thunderbolts. I feel like it would be a little crazy if they're like, and now we're killing them off. Like, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Maybe Steve.
Yeah, I would like that. If Secret Wars got to focus on the newer characters, I'd like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of think Bucky's going to die, man. Yeah. The problem I have there is if old Steve at the end of Endgame, if he is the Steve we see now, and he knows that Sam keeps the shield because he saw Sam use the shield, which is really nice, and it explains one of the weirdest things in Endgame, which is how the hell did this old man get to the bench? What's that story? If that's the case, I don't know if he would be okay with Bucky dying. I think that's the one thing. If Steve knew that Bucky didn't get to live a long life, I think he would not be on that bench. I think he would have fixed things.
Something that I don't actually think requires any explanation, but I could see them from the script phase thinking it does, is how Deadpool breaks the fourth wall in the world with the rest of the MCU characters. And a way of doing that is he survives with his memory intact from Doomsday to Secret Wars. So he remembers everything that happens. He's able to comment on it. Maybe you even, like, Deadpool and Wolverine was enormous. I could see them making Deadpool and a version of Wolverine the central characters in a certain way for at least a good chunk of Secret Wars, so that they could go right in there, and then you start adding in. I'm sure we're going to get the original Avengers back together, including Black Widow and everybody else in Secret Wars for sure. So I think we'll end up with that, but you could start with Deadpool and Wolverine potentially.
Did we get that shot of Thor holding Deadpool as he's like dying in his arms?
Please.
Like, they have to do that, right? Like,
yeah, please. I personally think Deadpool is going to be around for a long time, but if I don't know what the first post Secret Wars movie is going to be, my guess would be Black Panther 3. But if it would make the most sense if it was Deadpool, so Deadpool could just directly look at the audience and say, look, here's what counts and here's what doesn't. Now I just want to take a second to clear all the continuity up for you guys. Maybe that's your post credit scene, I don't know. We've also got another super chat here from Cokes117. Give us $5. Thank you. Love your work. They should add in Michael Pena's character Luis from Ant-Man, just recapping everything everyone missed. Give Doug some scritches. Absolutely. I think that's going to happen. Marvel, I've seen this suggestion too much. Marvel is most definitely going to go back and do this, either on like a, you know, like they used to do the Marvel one shots. That's your one shot. Put that on Disney Plus, put it on YouTube. Everybody would love it. Mayhair gave us 40 and I don't know the currency. Sorry. And said it's Volkswagen R611 for June 11th, maybe. Well, I don't know. I don't know where you got Volkswagen out of that hex code, but it could be. It's a very, very weird thing for them to do. This entire marketing campaign is weird. And I'm curious when the movie comes out, if it's going to make sense. I just don't know, guys. Just don't know.
Ryan, it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. They're going to pull it off. It's the Russo brothers.
What if that's actually the entire movie? It's just a big green square on screen the entire time for like 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, and they just play like Philip Glass pieces of music over the whole thing. It's like this generation's really conceptual.
You know, one thing that sad that I don't think we're going to get to see now that we're talking about Deadpool and breaking the fourth wall, I just really wanted a scene with Deadpool and She-Hulk both breaking the fourth wall at the same time and then looking at each other like, oh, you can do this too?
Oh, wait, you want to go? You want to go? You go ahead.
be beautiful.
Like, that's what they would do. Not me and you, Mike, but that's like, I like the idea of them doing that. Like, talking over each other for a second. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a payoff on Kevin, all this stuff. The thing is, and like I said, there's a video coming out on the screen, on the channel, like any minute now. They set up a lot of stuff in the Multiverse Saga, like Kevin and stuff like that, and not really going to pay it off in the Multiverse Saga. I guess we'll get the Shang-Chi Ten Rings payoff later on. Okay, guys, we got to wrap it up there. Rachel Leishman, you can find her on the Mary Sue, and your social links are also down below. Are you? Do you still have the Pedro Pascal podcast?
I yeah, they exist. That and the Glenn Powell one exist. We just are busy people.
Right, much like Glenn Powell. You started the Pedro Pascal podcast a long time ago, like before he, so that's your OG. You're probably the longest running dedicated Pedro Pascal podcast.
Pedro Pascal.
On the internet. But thank you, Rachel, for coming on. We got to have you more often. And Mike, Doug's attorney, you have a show coming up, right? And your links are down below.
I have shows coming up all the time, but just go ahead and follow me at Mike M Comedy on Instagram and follow Keeping Tabs News on Instagram and YouTube. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. I'm going to go get my tickets for camping.
Thanks, Mike. Love that last minute plug for men. And Alex, you can find him on the Comic Book Club podcast and all over the internet. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. I'm also going to camp out for camping.
Thank you so much. You probably don't have to camp out. You can just get tickets online. And all you guys can too. Thanks, Alex. Oh, I cut him off.
No, it's okay. I was just making a joke about camping. Cut me off.
There it is. Okay. All right. So, and also, guys, let us know what you think of the conversation going in the comments about the villain in Spider-Man Brand New Day, about new footage we could see in Avengers Doomsday, and your thoughts for Daredevil Born Again Season 2 and the Defenders returning. Give us all your Marvel thoughts down in the comments or on our free-to-join Discord server. Follow me on Substack and let us know. Just subscribe and ring that bell for alerts and become a member if you want. It's a lot of fun. Join us.